Well, God bless you guys. Good morning. You look so good. Thank you for being here today. It's going to be a fun day, exciting day. I'm actually excited about this last message in this message series called I'm Not Okay, But I Will Be. And we've been talking about emotional and mental health. It feels like sometimes through the history of the church that we've been super focused on spiritual health. Obviously, a great thing to be focused on, because at the end of the day, Jesus cares about you eternally. But there's something important you and I need to recognize, and that's that we have been created holistically, physically, mentally, spiritually, and God wants us to take care of all three of those areas. As a matter of fact, there's biblical mandates, commands, that you and I need to be attentive and careful about all of those things. Well, when some of those wells, if your spiritual well gets low or your emotional well gets low or your physical well gets low, it can negatively impact all of the other areas of your life. And so being attentive to your emotional health is super, super important. We had a really practical time together last week with therapist Tony Overbay. If you enjoyed that and wanted to hear more, kind of a continued conversation, you can actually see the podcast or hear the podcast. I think you can actually see it on YouTube, the recording of it. But Tony and I continue that conversation and talk even about some of the mental health things that I've struggled with, times of depression and just moments in which I had to come back from those. And so that may help you connect a little bit better to your own battle. But I wanted to end on what I believe is the note of the gospel. I want to end on the right note. When we end a series, I want to make sure that we've all come to the same conclusion about what God's role is in what we've been talking about. How many of you have ever used the expression, I think it's going to be 100%, I hope so? How many of you ever said, I hope so? Like somebody says, I wonder if the 49ers are going to win today. If you're a 49ers fan, you say, boy, I hope so. Right? Saying I hope so is the same as saying I hope it is as you said. I hope it is that way. I hope that thing becomes reality. Man, you know, it'd be great if the wind dies down. Well, I hope so. We want to see something come to reality that's not yet come to reality. Here's the problem, though, is that if we misidentify or misunderstand what hope actually is, saying I hope so out loud, you'll know, does absolutely nothing. Because if somebody says, man, that lottery is $250 million and you bought some cards, you think you're going to win, and you go, I hope so. How's that worked out so far? Just hoping, right, against all hope. And by the way, I want to just pause real quick. We have an amazing team that makes our services come together. There was a rental here till 10 o'clock last night. That means our team didn't get started till very late. Some of them didn't get home till 1 in the morning. And these guys stayed here and set all of this up for you. And we've had major technical difficulties this morning that our tech team has been working on like crazy. Can you guys give them all a big round of applause? These guys are the unsung heroes. And then there's a bunch of people missing church right now so that you've got a very cool event to go to afterwards. And my suggestion is, if you know Lisa, she is literally the sweetest, kindest person ever. Today, that will be put to the test. So I would say make sure you keep your hands in your pocket and keep a good safe distance from her. And toss her pieces of raw meat and then run is my suggestion for all of that. But just saying, I hope Lisa's going to be nice, right? I hope so. just saying I hope so doesn't make things happen. So you and I need to fully understand the power of hope in our lives. So take out your notes if you don't already have them out, and let's write this in together. Hope is a powerful and effective, I'm using this word on purpose, weapon in my battle for emotional health, because that's what we do. We battle for emotional health. It doesn't come easily. It's a powerful and effective weapon in my battle for emotional health when, number one, I find my hope outside of me and my circumstances. Outside of me and my circumstances. I'm going to take you through a really quick science lesson, okay? How many of you guys have heard that, like, recently we had a helium shortage? Like, yeah, if you went and tried to buy balloons, they were either super expensive or very hard to get a hold of. And this is not the first time that's happened. It's happened actually a few times in the last couple of years. So helium, if you didn't know this, is absolutely abundant in space. If we could go up to space and capture helium, we would never run out of helium. It's produced as a product of the fusion reaction that happens inside of stars like the sun. So there's a fusion happening inside of stars as they're imploding and exploding. And it's a reaction that produces helium. So there's plenty of helium out in space. That's not where we get our helium from. We get it from the naturally occurring reaction that happens deep inside the Earth. It comes from another process altogether. Inside the Earth, there is radioactive elements such as uranium and thorium that decay and then turn into other elements. And the byproducts of these reactions are tiny fragments called A particles, okay? You writing all this down? Good, there'll be a quiz at the end. An A particle consists of two neutrons and two protons. And those particles, hang with me, this is important to know, pick up electrons from the environment around them and then turn into helium. And you go, dear Lord, who cares? What are you telling me this for? I tell you this because I need you to know helium doesn't come from the dollar store or the Hallmark store or a gas store or some helium plant somewhere. Helium comes from a very unique thing that takes place, and it's a very complicated thing, and you can kind of understand why a helium balloon might be $6 because it's not like somebody just goes, oh, I have a home helium machine. Let me make you some helium balloons right here at the house. Helium comes from not a tank inside of a store, but from a very unique reaction that takes place inside of the Earth or way up in space. I think we see sometimes the source of hope being that you and I can just turn on our little hope machines. If I just hope so, if I just want it badly enough, if I just believe badly enough, if I just put enough positive thinking into it, my hope will create something. You'll be as successful at that as you are at creating your own helium. Saying inspirational sayings is not enough. Motivational memes on Facebook and Instagram are not enough. Having good friends around you who speak positively, that's great. It's not enough. Feeling the right feelings. If I can just change my feelings, we talked about it last week. Thought suppression. If I can just not think negative, I'm just going to tell my brain, don't think these negative thoughts. And your brain goes, this negative thought, this negative thought. And you can't help it. You keep thinking those. Having the right emotions. If I just feel happier, if I just feel hope, if I just think the right thoughts, feel the right feelings, or, oh, maybe if my circumstances would just change, then things will get better. Don't get me wrong. You should think positively. You should have people around you that speak the right things into your life. You should be inspired by things. Those things are not the source of hope. Those things are a reflection. Did you hear that? Those things are a reflection of hope. Romans 15, 13 says this, I pray that God, the source, everyone say the source of all hope, God is the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace in the midst of your faith, so that your hope will overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number one, God is the source of all hope. Hope does not exist outside of God. You can't create it, your friends can't create it, a book can't create it, a good show can't create it, an emotion can't create it, and changed circumstances cannot create hope. God is the source of all hope. And experiencing hope in God leaves us with a byproduct, just like helium is the byproduct. Listen, the byproduct of hope in God is experiencing joy and peace. As you continue to believe, as you experience faith, as you continue to believe that God is the source of hope, that all promises, all good things come from Him. You see, when you place your hope, when the source of your hope is placed back to the source of all hope, You are experiencing a faith encounter. You're saying, God, I believe you for the good things in my life. I believe you for emotional healing. I believe you for a restored marriage. Hope replenishes itself perpetually. We only have as much helium as the earth produces, as much as thorium and uranium decay and continues to do so, like crude oil and how we get our fuels. Like, there's only so much of that. At some point that will have to run out because that's all that there is. And sometimes we feel like we've run out of hope. That's only because we believe that hope's source is limited. But if you believe that hope is found in God, hope is found in the promises of Jesus Christ, then you understand that hope is unlimited. Number two is this. Hope is a powerful and effective weapon in my battle for emotional health. When number two, I face the facts about why hope even exists. So I started off with a good hooray, huzzah, yahoo, woohoo about hope, right? But hope, there's a reason that hope exists in the first place. So when we look at our circumstances, it's like looking at our garage. So in Missouri, where I grew up, we had basements, and this garages sort of replaced what basements did in Missouri for us. Garages are where we put everything we don't want inside the house. Now, I can say this because Lisa's not in here. I'll pay for it later. But Lisa loves to, if there's clutter in the house, she doesn't like any clutter in the house. You can come to our house pretty much at any, I said pretty, because that's a pretty Missouri thing right there. Pretty much any time in our house is really, really clean. Because Lisa loves having a clean house. And she doesn't care about the garage, however, because she'll take whatever clutter exists in there. And then I walk out, and the garage is mine. I consider the garage my space, my area, my domain, right? And I walk out, and I go, oh, boy, look at all of this stuff. And she goes, well, I didn't know where to put it. Well, no, you did. It was the garage. That's where you settled on putting all of this clutter from the inside of the house. And that's what happens. If it's, we don't want to walk across it. We don't want to encounter it. We don't want to get up against it. We don't want to, if it's broken, it needs to be fixed. If it is something that we only use occasionally, like I'm seeing all my Christmas decorations and man, November 1st is coming quick. And I told Lisa, I said, hey, I'm helping some friends with a project. And I said, I'm going to be super busy. So I'm thinking about actually decorating the outside of the house this week. And she put her foot down and said, the inside, not until the 7th. And I was like, woo, woman, you are hard to reckon with, but okay. November 7th is fine for the inside. I'm already listening to Hallmark. I don't know how I got distracted, and I'm so excited about Christmas. But anyway, it's where our Christmas decorations stay. Here's the problem, though. At some point, you have more stuff than you have garage. Right? The clutter keeps piling up. You can't even fit a car in there anymore, which is what it's for. And you start feeling that sense of being over. You walk out and go, oh, this isn't like a 15-minute cleanup. This is like I'm going to have to spend a weekend or a couple days this week. I'm going to have to pull everything out and reorder. There's going to be stuff that has to get thrown away. There's going to be a bunch of reorder. And you just go, I don't have the energy or the time for that. And then it keeps piling up and gets worse and worse and worse. And then you get more overwhelmed. And when we get overwhelmed, we start feeling a sense of hopelessness. We don't feel like anything can combat the mess that we've allowed to build up in our lives. Our mind is like our garage. You think you've forgotten something. You think you've pushed it far enough back in the corner. You think you set this thought or this thing high enough on a shelf and tucked it far enough back. You're not going to have to worry about it. But that's taking up space. And at one point, your mind and your heart become so overwhelmed that you start feeling hopeless, like nothing can fix all of what's going on inside of you. Listen to this in Romans 5, 2 through 5. Jesus leads us into a place, I love the way it says this in the Voice Bible. Jesus leads us into a place of radical grace where we're able to celebrate the hope of experiencing God's glory. That is so good. Radical comes from an original, a root word that actually means rooted. Radical comes from the word rooted. It means that we're rooted into grace. It holds us into grace where we're able to celebrate the hope of experiencing God's glory. That should excite you. And then, listen, here's the follow-up. And that's not all. There's more. We also celebrate the seasons of suffering. Wait, what? We also celebrate in seasons of suffering. That is not what we want to hear. We want to experience hope that takes us outside of suffering. We like Jesus who doesn't let us suffer. We don't like Jesus who keeps us inside of our suffering. We also celebrate in seasons of suffering because we know that when we suffer, we develop endurance, which shapes our characters. We are more interested in God shaping our circumstances than we are in Him shaping our character. I am. I certainly am. I wish God would change all negative circumstances that impact me negatively and leave my character alone. Because my character is something I've developed that helps protect me, helps me feel safe, helps me feel secure, helps me feel good about myself. My character is just the residue of all the decisions I've made. It's the sum total of everything that I've chosen to become. But God wants to see me become better than that. And so He uses circumstances to bring that out, suffering even. Because we know that when we suffer, we develop endurance, which shapes our characters. When our characters are refined, we learn what it means to hope and anticipate God's goodness. And hope will never fail to satisfy our deepest need because the Holy Spirit was given to us. The Holy Spirit that was given to us flooded our hearts with God's love. In other words, listen, suffering produces something in our lives. Suffering produces hope. Suffering leads to endurance, which shapes our character, which then in turn makes us start realizing that the source of anything is not found in us, that the source of solution, that the cleanup is not in us, that we have to literally let God come into our space and do the cleanup, because no matter how much you organize your chaos, it still ends up just being organized chaos. But to let God come in and purge your life. Have you ever had someone else come into your space and go, what do you have this for? Oh, I got it in the sixth grade and I'm going to, and they're like, and you're going to keep that? Well, I just don't want to throw it away. And they're like, I'll do it for you then. Because they have no emotional attachment to your junk. Right? That's it right there. That's it right there. Wives, stay out of our junk. Yep. That's how we protect our stuff. But to have someone else come in, not just someone else, but the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit come in and work through our lives. And then we start going, oh, I see it. I feel the hope in you. You're going to turn this around. You're going to change me. Third and finally is this. Hope is a powerful and effective weapon in my battle for emotional health when, number three, I allow my hope to outlast my battles and my pain. So about 600 years before Jesus walked the earth, there was a battle called the Battle of Carchemish. I'm sure you're all super familiar with it. In which the nation of Babylon, who was led by King Nebuchadnezzar back then, stormed and occupied Jerusalem, where many of the people of the nation of Israel were. And as part of the spoils of that war, many of the people from Israel's tribe of Judah were sent into captivity into Babylon. Their lives were completely turned upside down. The loss was immense. It was immeasurable. They were taken captive by their enemies. It was a terrible season in their lives. But God, in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of that captivity, in the midst of their emotional, physical, spiritual, marital, financial, everything in their lives was impacted negatively by this. Imagine somebody coming into our nation, taking you captive and sending you back to their place and holding you there. Indefinitely, really. How hopeless and helpless you would feel. Be terrible. We would want to hear from God in those circumstances, wouldn't we? And let me pause right here and say, it doesn't need to be that a nation comes and takes you away and sends you into captivity. Emotional unhealthiness, mental brokenness can take you captive and hold you into captivity endlessly. And in those moments, in those seasons, you and I desperately need to hear the voice of God in our life and need to hear the promises of God in our life. And that happens in Jeremiah 29, 10, and 11. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I've promised, and I will bring you home again, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. We are so uber familiar with verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you. They're plans not to hurt you, but to give you a future and a hope. Woo! We love to put it on our wall. We love to put it on our Facebook page. We love to read it completely out of context. That followed God saying, you will be in captivity for 70 years. But I want you to hear this. God's not going to walk into your life and go, I have a plan, a hope, future. It's for good, not for evil. I'm so sorry about this mix-up. I don't know how. You were supposed to have a life free of trouble. I don't know how this happened. I'm going to talk to whoever's in charge. They're going to turn you loose, set you free. They're going to give you compensation for all that. My bad, wasn't paying attention. Let me fix this really quick. Because listen, being in captivity in the situation of the tribe of Judah, they were there because of the results of war. That's what happens in war. People get hurt. People get captured. There are spoils. Prices have to be paid. That's just the ugliness of going into battle. And I want you to hear this. You are hurt. You are wounded. You are affected. You are in battle because of the messiness of the world that you and I live in. People will hurt you. Circumstances will hurt you. Abuse will hurt you. Life is going to impact you in different ways, and each one of us in different ways. And all of us will walk around with the scars of war in our lives. And God will come in the middle of that and go, this is terrible. This is a mess. You're going to be in this for a little while, I got to tell you. And I got to tell you, he was speaking to a nation of people. And so 70 years was the accumulative of the nation of people in your lives. I want to make this promise to you. You will likely not be in this battle for 70 years. But there will be a season that will feel eternal to you. God's going to say to you, if you'll talk to him and if you'll listen to him, you're going to be in this battle longer than you think you will, longer than you want to be. But I promise you, when you come out of that, I'm bringing you home. And the promises that I promised you, I'm going to fulfill for you. The good things that I promised to give you, you're going to get those good things into your life. I have a plan for you, but this is a messy situation. You're going to make it out. I promise you're going to make it out. I'm going to make sure that you make it out. And when you do, then the spoils of war are going to come back to you. And I want to tell you that if you're in the middle of a battle right now, there is hope, and the hope exists in the promises of God in your life, because whether you've ever realized this or not, whether you've ever encountered it or not, whether you've ever believed God for this, whether or not you've ever said, I hope so, when it comes to the promises of God, God has created you surrounded by his love, surrounded by his grace, and more importantly than all of that, surrounded by specific promises for your life. And just because circumstances have led you to a place you never thought you were going to go, maybe that you were never supposed to have gone, because things impacted you, things took you off course, things distracted you, things got you into a terrible place, I want you to hear this. God has not relinquished, has not pulled back, has not rescinded his promises in your life. The good things that have always been meant for you are still waiting for you. God wants to see you come through this. God wants to bring you home. God wants to deliver on all the promises that he's always had for you. Before even the creation of the earth, God knew your name and God had promises for your life. He created you for great things. And just because you're in the middle of the darkest season of your life doesn't mean those great things aren't still promised to you. If you will, I want every single person to bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute, because I want all of what we've done for this last month, for these last 4 weeks, I want those to come to fruition right now. In other words, I want you to do something with them. I want you to move into a place of deciding something. This is not, I'm just going to tell you right now, this is not the conclusion of anything. This is the start of something, or possibly the continuation of something, depending on where you're at in your journey. But what I would ask you is this, that you would do something to move that process forward. That you would make a decision right now to not give up hope, to not stop, to not quit, to not let that sense of being overwhelmed. If we can make sure Jenny's keys are on, I'm not sure where. That for you, that as you look at your garage space, as you look at that room, and you just say, you have no idea the mess that I'm facing. The years of pain, the years of emotional struggle, the years of abuse that I encountered, the terrible things that I've done myself, the places I've let myself go and the things I've let myself think, you have no idea. And I would say this, you're right. I don't. But God does, and as he walks into that garage, he picks things up off the shelf and he says, what? Why do you have this? Why are you hanging on to this? Oh, well, it's because 15 years ago they said something to me and it, okay, well, let's just go ahead and get rid of that. Why do you have this? Well, it's because if I let go of that, then that person gets away with it. No, that's not how that works. Throws it away. And your character begins to change, and so does your perspective as you allow the Holy Spirit to move from room to room to room in your house, in your space, in your emotions, in your thoughts, in your feelings, in your health, and your hope begins to grow, and your hope begins to increase. Because you realize this is an exercise of faith for you. It's not an exercise of inspiration or an exercise in willpower or just, I want to be better. It's not an exercise in positive thinking. It's an exercise in trusting that God is who he says he is and he will do for you what he says he will do, that he loves you and he has promises for you. And if you need to move forward in that process today and you want to invite the Holy Spirit to give free permission, to give him the skeleton key, the master key into every room in your house and say, Holy Spirit, lead me through the cleanup so that my hope can be restored. If that's you, would you just slide your hand up and say, yeah, that's the journey I'm on. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for being trusting. Can I pray this over you? I want to pray because I know sometimes in the midst of this messiness, we can't even think of the words to pray. Let me pray. Let me join my faith with you. Christ Jesus, I believe that you are a God of healing. Isaiah 53:5 says, on the cross, you took stripes for our healing. That was for our complete healing, our complete wholeness, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so I pray for that power to be recognized in our life, to let us know that we are not under the thumb of the enemy. We're a child of God the King. We're co-heirs with you, Jesus Christ. And that the battle isn't lost. depression, anger, lust, fear, anxiety, obsession, failure, all of the things that we feel that make us stay trapped inside of this mess that circumstance, our own choosing, that life has created, all of it that keeps us neck deep in the quicksand, feeling like we can't get out. We don't surrender to it today. We don't give up. We don't quit. We reach out to the source of all hope. We lock wrists and we say, God, do in me what needs to be done. I don't want to flail and fight. I don't want to try to fix this on my own. I don't want to try to heal myself. I don't want to try and think myself out of this or emote myself out of this. All of my hope is in you. So I trust you. In my bedroom, in my kitchen, in my family room, in my garage where all the deepest, darkest junk gets stored. Holy Spirit, move through our lives, move through our hearts, move through our minds, and let our hope increase in the promises. Just like you promised Babylon, you'll be here for another season, but I promise you're coming home. And when you do, I'm going to restore back to you everything that's been promised to you. I have a plan for you. You may not see it. You may not even believe it right now, but I have a plan for you. Put your hope in that. Celebrate hope when you can't even see the plan. Celebrate the power of hope. Jesus Christ, we pray that into our lives as the promise from you. And we receive it as if it's already happened in our lives, giving you thanks now for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys.